Good morning. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. It's good to be with you this morning and by the seashore to the, what is that, west of us, east of us? I'm not good with geography. It's out there somewhere. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in here. And it was wonderful to be around the Lord this morning at the Lord's table to remember Him. And for the few minutes here today, I'd like to share with you a few thoughts that actually were born out of a little devotional I read, a few devotionals. Do you read Daily Bread? Is there somebody here who reads our Daily Bread? You're familiar with that. That's great. Or read your Bible first, of course. But then Days of Praise. Are there anybody familiar with Days of Praise? No, that's a new one. Well, they're from California, the Institute for Creation Research. And they're wonderful devotionals. I have a sample one that I'll leave with Ben. And if after the elders have reviewed it, if you feel it's good reading material, and I would highly recommend it, you could do it in addition to your Bible reading and your daily bread. I call the daily bread is the appetizer, and the days of praise is the meat, and then the solid food is in the Word. So I was reading the days of praise this week, and one of the thoughts that just seemed to jump off the devotional was a little phrase. And the phrase just kept coming before me, and I'm praying, Lord, what would you have me bring to this assembly? And it really seemed to rivet itself to my heart that I should do a little search. So I do my Bible program on the computer. I did a phrase search, and the phrase is, lift it up, lift it up. So I was amazed to find that that little phrase, lift it up, is found some 67 times in the King James Bible. And so I started looking at it. And you know the law of first mention, when something's first mentioned. Have you ever heard of the law of first mention? Well, let's see. They don't know days of praise, and they don't know the law of first. I got two strikes against me already. If something's mentioned for the first time in Scripture, at any time, of course, we ought to perk up our, you know, pay attention. But especially when something's mentioned for the first time. There's really super significance to this phrase or word or expression found in the Word of God. And it might set a precedence for other times when it's used. So let's just look at this little expression this morning. I'd like to look at it a little bit in the gospel to begin with. What the gospel is, of course, is the good news. And if you're here today and you've received the gospel, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I trust you'll be encouraged as we look for the first half of this meeting at some things and person that was lifted up that will assure us of our salvation. And I'd like to just share that with you. It's so important that we're sure that we're saved. And God's Word will assure us of that. Not myself, but God's Word. So the first part. The second part, we'd like to look at that expression, lift it up again, but this time in a little encouraging ministry for those of us that like to be challenged by the Word of God. Okay? So keep those thoughts in mind, and let's look together and explore God's Word in Genesis chapter 6. I'd like you to look over to verse 5, as we look at the opening part of this passage that we're going to look at, which is going to be found in Genesis 6 and 7, and this expression or phrase that's found in God's Word some 67 times in the King James, the word lifted up, lifted up. And God saw, we're reading at Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Another rendering says, it grieved him at his soul. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter number 7 of Genesis, verse 1. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I'm sure there's not anyone here today that doesn't know the story of God's judgment and wrath upon the earth, and that God, in his judgment and wrath, also has his side of mercy. And he provided the ark as a place of safety. Noah preached on that for quite a long time, and people just ignored and laughed at him. They had never seen rain before, but they had never seen God's judgment either. God was about to pour his judgment in a wrath upon the earth. We've recently learned of these tsunamis where the bottoms of the ocean open up and the swell of the water that comes up to the surface and races along the ocean at tremendous speeds and then hits lands and does devastating things to it. We've seen that. And just from a little bit of research with this Days of Praise of one of my devotionals and the people at ICR in California who are scientists, but they're Christians, born-again Christians, and they're archaeologists, they say that this sort of a thing happened with such an intensity that it would have just been totally devastating, and it was. And it was. And God poured from the heavens rain, and from the underneath of the oceans opened up, and he destroyed every living creature on the face of the earth. However, it was an ark of safety. It was an ark of safety. So we're going to read about that ark. And I trust that if there's any today that are not sure of their salvation, that you'll find your place by faith today in the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what this pictures here in Genesis. It pictures, it foreshadows the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our place of safety, those of us that have trusted him. So we're reading in chapter 7. I'd like you to pass your eye down, please, to verse number 10, please. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 2nd day and the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Just as an aside before we go on to verse 13, 40 is the number of testing in Scripture. 40 years the children of Israel were tested. Moses was on the mount fasting 40 days in Exodus 24. We're doing a consecutive study of the book of Exodus back in Cheshire, Connecticut, so I knew that one because we studied it recently. And Goliath, the giant, who was in defiance of the God's people, who lasted 40 days. And if you do a little more research, you'll find many other things. But Jesus, our Lord, was tempted in the wilderness. He was led there by the Spirit of God, but he was tempted by Satan there, and he fasted for 40 days. So 40 is the number of testing. 40 is the number. That's a little aside. And verse 13. And the very same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. That was all that went in. The invitation was to everyone, but only those went in. And every beast after its kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and every fowl after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into unto Noah, unto the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein it is the breath of life. And they went in, and went in male and female of the flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. God provided a place of safety, and he provided a future for his people. Those that wanted to be saved. And those that are saved today, he provides a future that's out of this world. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the water increased and bore up the ark. And here's the expression I'd like to bring before you this morning. And it was lifted up above the earth. Lifted up. The flood, perhaps the greatest catastrophic event in the world recorded in the history of mankind, not only recorded in the Bible, but in a lot of other books, the flood has been recorded. Judgment on the earth. God watched and saw mankind growing in sin to an unbelievable proportion, and it grieved him in his heart. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the renderings, one of the translations said it grieved him in his soul that he had, what he had, worked, the works of his hands that he created and what had happened to man. And even though this catastrophic event took place, God was going to pour out his judgment upon man, and he will one day on this earth too. He made a way of escape. He made the ark. Now, I know you've heard this message before, perhaps in the gospel. It's not uncommon to any of you, but I'd like you to think of the ark as this place of safety. And this place of safety, and here's the expression, lifted up. Place of safety. Lifted up. High above the earth, high above the floodwaters and the weeping and the crying and everyone that was perishing, the place of safety high above everything else. That speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that have trusted Him as our personal Savior, He brings us to a place high above in His presence. The Scripture says that we are seated with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. What a place of security. Can we be sure that we are in Christ? Can we know that we're saved? Can you walk from this place today with the assurance of God's Word that you belong to Jesus? If you've repented of your sin, if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, I'm a sinner, Lord, before you. I know I have sinned. I've been born that way. And I accept you as my personal Savior. And as the prodigal son turned and said, I have sinned before heaven and in thy sight, and turned and went back to his father and said, make me as one of thy hired servants. It was a real case of repentance, and that's what God wants to see from each of us. And if you've done that at some time, place, or manner in your life, and you have accepted the Lord, then it's time to rise above. It's time to rise above. The ark is a place of safety, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do to us in our lives what He did with the ark, lift us up with Him, seated with Him in the heavenlies. Now, the very thing that brought death to them brought life to some. The waters that brought death to every living creature on the face of the earth also really brought life, because the waters, through God's hands, what lifted up the ark, lifted it high above everything else and all that was going around, and they were safe in the ark. Safe in the ark. And I want you to think on that this morning. If you're here with us today and you're not sure about your salvation, we're going to read of another instance now of something that was lifted up. And I want you to think far above the things of earth this morning. I want you to focus on a person. It's a person that we speak of this morning, and that person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust today that everyone who is in the sound of my voice knows Him. For sure, that if you died right now, you know Him as your Savior, for sure, and then you feel safe in the ark of Christ. I trust that's your case today. Let's look at another illustration of one that was lifted up. Let's look in the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, then the book of Numbers, and chapter 21. I'm sure you know where I'm going to speak of next, but the Lord just really led me there as I started looking at these 67 some odd references in the Word of God for the phrase lifted up. And He brought me here to the book of Numbers and the story, of course, of the children of Israel moaning and complaining again, just like we do sometimes, and Moses praying on their behalf once again. And let's just take a very look at the thing that speaks, just like the ark where Noah built and only eight were saved, this speaks too of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're following along, it's Numbers chapter 21, and if you're not, just listen in verse 5. Numbers 21, verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore hath you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loathe this light bread. They were complaining because back in Egypt, what did they have? They had their meal plan that was better, but they were slaves. But here God was redeeming His people, and still they complained. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, verse 6, among the people. And they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Just like those that weren't in the ark died, many of the people that were bit died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. That's the first step of a person who's repentant, noticing their sins and feeling the weight of their sins upon them. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. And against thee, pray unto the Lord. They're pleading with Moses to pray to the Lord, and that He may take the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And he had done this numerous times. We learned that in the book of Exodus as we went through in our chapel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, And here's what the Lord's instructions were. Make thee a fiery serpent. The very thing that brought destruction to the world, water, brought safety for those that were in the ark because it carried, it lifted the ark above the earth. The very thing that brought destruction upon the people here, the sinful people who had sinned against God, the fiery serpents that God sent, God is using this as an illustration here. The Lord said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. The very thing they had to look up to was the thing that they were being destroyed by. But yet, it was a look of healing, a look of safety. It must have taken Moses some time to make this fiery serpent. Scripture, I don't think, tells us of this. If it does someplace that I didn't read, please tell me after the meeting. But I was thinking that it must have taken some time to make this fiery serpent to place on the pole. In other words, the people waited on God. They waited on God. And they waited for the remedy. And they waited for their prayers. And then their prayers were answered. Place it on a pole. And it shall come to pass, I'm in verse 8, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of bronze, or brass, speaks of judgment, of course, and he put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of bronze, he lived. He lived. When he beheld the serpent of bronze, he lived. Lifted up on a pole. Another thought is that not only was that serpent something that took Moses some time to construct, but that pole was probably very tall. And why do you think that? Because there were, 12 tribes? 12 encampments? A lot of people? So it had to be high. High and lifted up. High and lifted up. Remember that. They would receive a cure. They would receive a cure. Brass speaks of judgment. The judgment of God upon his people because they were disobedient. They would be cured from their poison in their bodies. What a beautiful picture again, just like the ark is a place of safety from the storm and the wrath of God, is this picture of the brass serpent. Christ being lifted up high upon the cross for every man. And those that look by faith on him, just a look, the hymn writer says, look and live, we by faith can be saved from the sin that is poisoning us since the day we were born. Oh, hymn writer could say, oh, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. John's Gospel, chapter 3, reads this. Don't turn there, please, but it says this. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said in the same Gospel, John chapter 12, verse 32, listen, he says, and I, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all peoples to myself. So the ark was lifted up to safety. The brass serpent was lifted up for the healing of the people. And the Son of God was lifted up for our salvation. Can you be sure today that you're saved? Absolutely sure. Before you leave those double doors in the back, that's your way out. You can be sure by the Word of God. Just be in your mind, in your heart, look at the Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross by faith. Take a look at the Savior and live. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. For God so loved the world. You have that scripture up on your wall someplace here? No? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, lifted up. That's whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You can be sure of your salvation today. I hope you are. The ark was lifted up. The brass serpent was lifted up. The Son of God was lifted up. I'd like to bring you now for the remainder of this meeting, if I can, to some words of encouragement for those of us that are saved. Would you turn in your Bibles to the New Testament this time, to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We'll now fast forward to a scene in the New Testament, and we'll see a few things here. We'll see in some verses in Luke, and then we'll turn over with the help of the Lord to Acts chapter 1, and we'll look at how the Lord is going to lift up his hands. And then he himself is going to be lifted up. And we'll look at some, I'd like to put things in letters because that's the way I remember them, so I took the letter C. And I would like to give you three things today to take home with you, those of you that are saved. Our challenge, our charge, and our course. Our challenge, our charge, and our course. Just with the thought of being lifted up. So let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And, wow, there's so much here, but there's so little time. Look down to verse 44, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, if you have a Scofield Bible, the beginning of the paragraph there before verse 1 says, Christ's resurrection, commission to the disciples, and his ascension. Want to read a chapter that I'll encourage you today, read this chapter of 24 of Luke's Gospel. There's just so much here. There's so much. We see a few things, though. Let's look at verse 44 together. And he said unto them, Jesus said, these are the words which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the dead the third day. The hope we have, brothers and sisters. What a tremendous hope we have. It's a hope that's sure. It's a hope that's sure. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye have endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. A couple things we notice here. A few things. One, we are to be witnesses, witnesses of salvation. Christ alone is our salvation and our assurance. Two, he blessed his people. How did he do it? He lifted up his hands and he blessed his people. As I read that the other day, I thought the very hands that Jesus used to bless the children, the very hands that Jesus used as a carpenter, as a young boy, the very hands, the precious hands that were nailed to the cross, were now lifted up to bless his people. And I say confidently, with the word of God before me, it's the very hands that are lifted up to bless you and I. He blessed us with salvation because the hands were pierced for us. But he blesses us now and wants to lift us up into the heavenlies. And we can be so blessed if we walk with the Lord. And we take our challenge, and we take our charge, and we take our course. So let me give you those three things. First, I'll just share with you, as I see there's a few minutes remaining, something that I was just noticing when I read these verses, of the other day as review in verse 45. Let me just backtrack for a second here, getting off to the side. I'll give you this little extra something. It's free. He said in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." He opened their understanding. Just turn your page over to the same chapter, but verse 31. Verse 31. "And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight." His eyes were opened. His eyes. With our eyes, I was telling my wife the other day, I need new glasses. It's been 2 years, and I'm struggling to read. You know, she's like, "You've been saying that for 2 years now." Right. But our eyes, we have eyesight. But our heart, we have insight. Insight. He opened their eyes, and they recognized him, and he vanished from out of their sight. Look at verse 35. "And they told him what things were done along the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." He was known to them in the breaking of bread. He opened their hearts so they could appreciate his presence in a new way. First, he opened their eyes so they could see spiritually. Then he opened their hearts at the breaking of bread so he could appreciate his presence in a new way. And now, in verse 45, he opens their understanding so that they can comprehend his word. We have the power of the Spirit of God residing in us. And if we don't grieve God's Holy Spirit, he will do all three things for us. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our understanding, and reveal the truths of God's word to our hearts. Yes, he was lifted up in glory. Look over at Acts chapter 1. Just flip over there quickly. It's only a couple books away. Dr. Luke, you know, wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else. Did you know that? Dr. Luke wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else. Chapter 1 of Acts of the Apostles by the author Luke. And look at verse 8, please, with me. The commission to evangelize. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received them out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, lifted up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Lifted up, lifted up. This morning, as we remember the Lord, we remember him. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We remember him lifted up on the cross, but then lifted up into glory. And here he was, taken up into glory. Lifted up to glory. Ascended. You know, it was actually 40 days. I read that, and that was either in the Daily Bread or the Days of Praise this past week. It was actually 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. So the other day was Ascension Day. And during that period, there's some 10 or 11 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ to his believers. And so during these appearances, what did Jesus do? He confirmed his resurrection from the dead. And here in Acts chapter 1, as well as in Luke 24, he gathers his apostles together, and he gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says unto them, what? "Be witnesses of me, because I am lifted up. I am lifted up. And you're looking up, you're gazing into heaven, but one day I'll return." And so here's the word of encouragement for us this morning. The promise of the Holy Spirit is upon us. The moment we are saved, we are indwelt with that Holy Spirit. We experience the Holy Spirit's power. I hope we do experience the Holy Spirit's power in our life. And God's purpose for our life is to be here to proclaim Christ, to proclaim Christ, to lift him up, to lift Christ up to a dying world. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Paul writes this book of Romans. The theme of the book is the gospel of God. We need to be the gospel of God. We need to be lifting of Christ to the world. So here's the three C's for you: our challenge, our charge, and our course. Our challenge. How is it going with our work for the Lord? How is it going with our work for the Lord? You know, our job is our job, but our occupation ought to be Christ. Our job is our job, and that's important. The Lord's given it to us. But our occupation needs to be Christ. How's it going in our work for the Lord? Are we lifting Him up before the world? You know, the only Jesus some people will see is the Jesus they see in you and in me. How's it going with our work for the Lord? Our challenge, our charge. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, the Lord Jesus says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. And you know, we don't need to be a gospel preacher to preach the gospel. Did you hear that? We don't need to be a gospel preacher to preach the gospel. Out in your foyer there, there's a track rack. And I'm sure you have tracks at home. You don't need to be a gospel preacher to preach the gospel. You can hand out a gospel paper to someone. When you go in a restaurant and you leave a tip, put your dollars in the paper, gospel paper, and leave the paper for the waitress. My father used to have a garden in front of his house. He's with the Lord now. Beautiful roses. You know, he's Italian. He loves the flowers and the roses. And people used to come by the house in West Hartford and see all the roses climbing up the side of the house, beautiful roses. And all different daffodils and tulips and everything else, right? And they would stop because it stood out of all the other houses. They would just stop, you know, especially the ladies. They love the flowers. And he would say, just a minute. Do you have a minute? And he would go get a paper towel and he'd cut some flowers off and wet the paper towel and wrap them up and hand them to the person, to the lady. And they would look. And I would remember as a young boy, he would take that opportunity to preach the gospel. Beautiful rose has a beautiful smell, but be careful of the thorns. You know, my Savior wore a crown of thorns, and He died on the cross for you and for me, for our salvation, that we would know our sins forgiven. Just from a little rose, brothers and sisters. You know, we don't need to be a preacher of the gospel to preach the gospel. We can do with what we have, the Holy Spirit can use us if we have willing hearts. So there's our challenge. How's it going with our work for the Lord? Our charge, go into the world and preach the gospel to every man. And our course. We're on a course. We're on a path. God's given us a path and a purpose in His presence while we're here. A path to travel. A purpose while we're traveling that path. And He's given us His presence. What more can we ask for? And so our course is this. To run the race. Run the race, looking, Hebrews 12:1, looking unto Jesus, the lifted up one, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul charges Timothy in verses 1 through 5. We have what, 3-4 minutes left? We end at 12? Then let's turn there quickly, okay? Let's get some exercise for our fingers here, okay? Aerobics of the fingers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, quickly. Paul charges Timothy in the first 5 verses. He says this, be watchful, endure, do the work, fulfill your ministry. That's our course. Run the race with patience, with endurance. He says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that you judge the living and dead at the appearing of His kingdom. Preach the word. Not necessarily on the platform, brothers and sisters, but preach the word in your life. Preach the word by the way you talk, by the manner of conversation you have at work, at school, in your home. Preach the word. Be diligent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. I found another rendering of this. I'll read it to you. I quote, the time has come when they will not take sound teaching, but instead, moved by their own desires to themselves, will obtain teachers whom they want to hear. Does that make sense? Let me read it again. I didn't see too many heads nodding. The time has come when they will not take sound teaching, but instead, moved by their own desires, to themselves will obtain teachers whom they want to hear. In other words, they want to do what? Lift themselves up and not lift the Lord up. Does that sound like the world that we're living in today? Absolutely. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Turn their ears. In other words, they'd rather believe a lie than the truth of God. All the more today, as we close, accept the challenge. All the more today. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help me and you to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to accept the challenge. Go ye. It's a lost, dying world out there. It's a world that's lost and dying. A girl said to my wife and I the other day, we go to the Valley's Health Club and work out, and she said, I own this, and I own that, and I own this other thing, and I just can't seem to get fulfilled. I'm trying to fill a void in my life that things are not filling. I says, boy, if I got something I want to talk to you about. If I got someone I want to talk to you about. That's the world. It's dying, it's lost, it's lonely, and it's void. And it's trying to fill the void with things, and only Christ can fill it. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the challenge, you and I. Go into the world, preach the gospel. You don't need to be a gospel preacher to preach the gospel, and run the race to finish the course. Be watchful, Paul says to Timothy. Be on alert. Endure. Do the work. Fulfill your ministry. And then one day we hope, like Paul, we'll have fought the good fight, we'll have finished the race, and we'll have kept the faith. Why? So that the crown that the Lord gives us will cast right back at his feet to praise him. High and lifted up. He lifted up the ark to safety. Lifted up, Moses lifted up the brass serpent on the pole, and those that looked there, and the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross for us. And then when he departed from his own, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And then he himself was lifted up into glory. And the promise for us, while we're here, taking the challenge, I hope, the challenge that I mentioned to you, is our challenge, our charge, and our course is this, that one day our eyes will be lifted up, and in a moment we'll be gone. In a twinkling of an eye, in a nanosecond, we'll be gone, and we'll be lifted up to be with him in glory. So today I trust your hearts be encouraged by God's word to be lifted up and to be accepting the challenge and the charge and to finish the course. Run the race of endurance for Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the illustrations in your word that shows us so much of your mercy and your love. Father, thank you for showing us the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up this morning as we remembered him on the cross. But thank you, he is not there, but he is lifted up. Now, Heavenly Father, at your right hand exalted, and one day he will come and lift us up to be with him in the air, and we shall forever be with thee. Father, we thank you for these promises. But Father, while you've left us here, you've given us a charge and a challenge and a course to run. Pray, Father, we all pray this morning that you would keep us faithful in the work that you've given us to do, and that our occupation might be Christ, and that we would live him to the world, and that those that come in contact with us, even today, would see Christ lifted up in us. Dear Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. And Father, I want to thank you for this young man that came out today, who has left early. I pray that there would be an assurance of salvation in his heart today. Something said through your word would have pierced through his heart, or the tract given. Father, we pray for people that come into our lives that you bring into the church, your body of believers. Father, that we would be instant in season to respond to the need today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this assembly. We pray your blessing upon each member of the body of Christ here. We thank you for them. And we give thanks most of all as we close now for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name.